Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome live from Houston, Texas. And look at this sun. Is that not just an awesome sunset here? I kind of positioned my body over here so you can not be blinded by the light. But welcome to the program tonight. Sorry about running a minute or two late, but technical difficulties and trying to get the intro in and all that. That's part of live radio, and I love that. So I tell you what, it's going to be worth the wait. I promise you that. This is one of those money-back guarantees that you're going to have a good time. You're going to want to write some things down. You're wanting to write a phone number down right now, 888-627-6008, because I would love to hear from some of those Southern Illinois folks down in the Carterville, Illinois area to call in and just give our guest a little bit of torment, but some accolades or encouragement also as we talk tonight about some issues. And we're going to welcome him in just in a second. We do have illness in one of the twins, so one of them will not be here tonight, but hopefully he's going to be listening in and maybe he can call in if he can get out of the bathroom. So, oh, that was too much information. Anyway, welcome to the program. You know, we have some awesome programs coming up in the next few weeks, so make sure you just keep on watching. And I know when I ask our guest to come on, this guest has been on with us for several times, and it just does my heart good, and we're going to welcome him just shortly. But I tell you, I always like to start off each week with some kind of wisdom, some kind of thoughts that's going through my mind. And you know, it seems like because I just got a word over our news wire in the hospital world here that things are starting to tick up again. So I guess we're not away from doing this again and going back into that world. And isn't it amazing how infectious things are now? So we all have to carry, you know, one of these. Oh, matter of fact, oh, look here, I got the gallon size, because we have to keep all of this disease and infections and germs out of our lives as much as we can. And I think maybe on the positive side, on the other side of this pandemic, when it actually ends, if it ever does, we may have less flu, less colds, because everybody's bathing in disinfectant per se and wearing masks. And I still wear the mask all the time, but isn't it amazing that also with all of these infections and germs, just think about it for a second. Negativity is a disease, is infectious. And I want to encourage you tonight that if you're listening, don't let it infect you, because sometimes I let it come into my life, into my mindset, and it does mess me up. And I'm really serious about this, that life is challenging enough. And we're going to talk about some of those challenges tonight in the teenager years, in the early 20s, 30s, but even for everybody, because it affects us all. Life's challenging enough moving around all of those and try to stay away from all the negativity of other people. And it's also almost hopeless if that negativity is coming from within us. So we can avoid it with other people and maybe in the office Take a quick turn when you see them coming. You go, oh, I'm going to avoid them and stay away from that because they dance on that last nerve and just make me feel awful and just bring down my day. But what happens if that negativity is coming from within? How hard and how almost impossible it is to maneuver around that? Doubts, fears, low self-esteem. Any of those thoughts that aren't pushing you forward is going to have a great impact of holding you back. And when we talk about what our topic is this evening, you're going to see that this topic is all about finding a direction and heading on that journey. Two steps forward, one step back, it's still progress. Baby steps throughout the day, even though they're not huge leaps and bounds, is still forward progress. And just those thoughts of negativity hold you back. And it affects our ultimate outcome. Negative thoughts are bad for your health. And I promise you, they're going to hinder your growth. This week, as we go into 4th of July being tomorrow, free yourself this coming week of negative people, of negative thoughts. If you love yourself, cut loose some of that negativity from other people before it starts to rub off on you. And let me tell you, it's no secret. It will. You may have a zippity-doo-dah day, and all it takes is somebody to come in and defecate on your emotional desk at the office. And it immediately affects who you are and the type of day you're going to have. Why are we allowing people to do that? Why are we allowing ourselves to do that to ourselves? I don't know, but I get caught up in that. And that's kind of what I've been thinking about all weekend. Some of you may disagree and remark that it's our responsibility in this world to bring positivity to these folks and try to bring them up. I'll tell you what, good luck with that one. I think sometimes it's better to just avoid and get out and get away. My changes didn't happen from other people forcing their energy on me. They came from the time and realizing that my negative thoughts, negativity, most often comes from within. I want to be honest with you. Our time's limited. And hasn't this pandemic shown us that in so many terrible ways that you just never know when life's over? Time is limited. So be mindful this week of who you spend that time with. If you're being positive and those around you are being negative, find new people to be around. Attitude plays a huge part in our life. And I don't know if we really understand. Sometimes it's the choices that we make, the people that we run with, and the way we feel about it. So from the moment you wake up, decide to not put all that toxicity or that toxic junk inside of our fuel tank and then try to make it through the day and wonder why we're sputtering out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and we feel awful and we're down and we're depressed and we're just like, oh, it's going to be a terrible day. Try to start your day off with something positive. Jump out of bed. In my case, jump out of the chair. And fill your mind with something that's as bright as that sun. Negative thoughts are toxic. Take time to identify them. And then take time to allow them and show them to the door to get out of your life. And I'm talking about those that are already inside of us, our own negative thoughts. We all have them. Doesn't matter how much of this you wipe on yourself or how many hours a day you wear this. When it comes from within in us, you have to deal with it in a different way. You're not immune to them, and you're never going to be immune to them. There are so many other awesome wonderful germs in this world that we need to start spreading. Love, inspiration, self-care, respect, positivity. Find those within you and try to find that in those that are around you also. I got a feeling you have a better week. That's what I'm going to start off with. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. 888-627-6008. Tonight, our guest is Dr. Matthew Brown. And just by chance, he is the one that did the foreword of the book. And I'm thrilled to have, you know, Matt, as you come on in, go ahead and put his face on there so it maybe will take my face out, but we can share the screen, whatever. But Matt, welcome to the program for number one. Can you hear me? Oh, can you unmute you? There you go.
There we go. Am I on now?
You are on, my friend.
Brother, it is so good to see your face and that beautiful sunset, and it's good to be on.
I tell you what, you know, in life, and I've known you since junior high school.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how many years, how many months, how many days that we go without speaking. When we talk again, we immediately reconnect in such a way that is just absolutely unbelievable. And out of all the people I've ever met in this world, you and your brother are probably the most precious friends that I've ever had in my life. And your family's really special to me, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
You made me cry before this show even starts. I'm going to come to you soon. Well, you know, the feeling's mutual, Greg. And that, you know, unless someone has experienced that, what you just said, where you could put the friendship on a shelf, and as soon as you take it down, it picks right back up. That's a true gift from God. It's rare, and it's definitely not the norm. It's an exception, and I'm just thrilled that I get to have that with you. So that's...
Well, it's amazing because we've been with each other through the good times and the bad, through the times that I've made mistakes and slipped and fell and was embarrassed. You made mistakes, slipped and fell, and maybe embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
But friendship isn't affected by that. It just becomes more precious because we've gone through it together. And when you have those relationships, it's important to honor them and respect them. And I just appreciate it so much, so much.
Yeah. Same here. You know, I love how you started the program on get rid of the negative. And yeah. I know that if at least and everyone should have this in their lives. And I pray that everyone can. I know I can pick the phone up and dial your number and immediately it's positive. It's and it's not fake. It's legit, and it's rare, and I love it.
Well, you're special, and you know, I appreciate you writing the foreword in the book, and I don't know if everybody knows this yet, but the new book is finally out. So the commercial that's going to be running here later, I have cases of it all through the place here. And there's your foreword, and then here on the back is the sunset, and then there's one of the most beautiful quotes from your foreword. And I just appreciate you doing this and sharing with the people why you think this topic is of importance. So without me reading the foreword, why do you think what we're going through right now in our world is something that we need to read about and learn more about? What's your opinion on that, Matt?
Well, first, let me say thank you for asking me to do the foreword. It's an honor, and I, you know, I'm just glad I could do it. And as far as what the question of why is, you know, this is an odd time in our world where it seems like there's so much hopelessness, and you know, I'm not by any means a negative person by nature, a apocalyptic type guy, but it is, you look around and it's just, it's there. And then here your book gives the answer, and it truly does. It answers, in such a practical way, in such a true way of where true hope comes from, that motivates us to wake up tomorrow and say, you know, I'm going to live today. I've got a reason to live. I've got a reason. It's going to get better. And as soon as a person believes that, man, it's a game changer. And your book does that. The ability you have, Greg, to promote that type of an outlook. You know, you said earlier, it made me think of a shirt I used to have that said outlook determines outcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, or, you know, you've heard the saying, your attitude determines your altitude. And it may sound cheesy, but those are biblical principles that are true. And the way I look at my tomorrow, the way I look at the circumstance I'm in, that determines everything about how I get through it. And man, your books, all of them have addressed that in such a refreshing and such a powerful way. And I'm not just saying it because you're who you are in my life. If I didn't know you at the darkest time of my life, and you were there, but at the darkest time of my life, drawing from what you were able to give me to get me through that is what's in these books. And so I'm going to shout it from the rooftops that people need to get these books in their hands. They need to get you at their speaking engagements because God uses you like that, Greg, and it's in spite of you, obviously. But they need to do that. So there's my plug for you, Greg, because I
well, yes, so I'm going to have to send you an extra $20. That was and don't get up on the rooftop and shout. Carterville Police will handcuff you and take you down to the jail again. And we don't
again. I got to be back by 10, so we got to wrap this up soon. I'm like Otis. I just let myself in.
That's right. That's right. We're so accustomed to it. I tell you, one of the things that is to me, this can be, you can come down to Houston if anybody wants to, and I'll sell you one of these because you can't get them in the stores yet. Amazon and all the other places require 30 to 60 days for the pre-publication period of a book to set. And they start playing with these, what this word is called, algorithms on their computers. So if anybody's listening, do me a favor and get on Amazon. Every time you're on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, look up my books and just click all around the little pages. Look at the cover and click it as many times as you can throughout the day, as many days as you want. They don't count who does it. They just count how many sets of eyeballs are actually looking at it. And then when it goes on sale, Kindle edition goes on sale on my birthday, July 25th. And I believe shortly after that, the actual publication will go on sale, even though it's sitting in the warehouses waiting for people to order it. But that's the way the book game works. So in that, Amazon starts watching how many clicks it gets. And so the first book, where that's at, Shattered by the Darkness, has done really, really well. I mean, it's still, matter of fact, today it was up, I think, in the top 20. Wow. Just because this one has sold hundreds of thousands of copies, it doesn't promise that this one's going to sell 10. So they won't go off this. They only go off how many people are interested in this one. So when they start watching those numbers, that's going to help Amazon and Barnes and Noble, all they're going, hey, wait, we may need 100 in our warehouse so they can do that prime shipment, or they may need 1,000 or 50,000. It all depends on the sets of eyes. And you can actually go on and prepay for it now and pre-buy it during the pre-publication times. But I'm going to be sending out emails to people like you on that. But that's kind of where it's at right now. If you want it right now, you can actually get on bookbaby.com and go into the bookstore. And I have my own page there and type in my name or the title of the book, When Dark Clouds Come, and you can actually order it and they'll ship it to you straight from the publisher right to your house now. But anyway, that was all extra stuff that you didn't pay for tonight. But that's the information where it's at right now. I opened up this map, and here your little forward is, which is just beautiful. But in the very first page of the book, I dedicate it. And I also want to say This is the first copy that came out of the case, and it goes to my editor, which is Cecilia Dale, a teenager that helped me edit it. And I really wanted a teenager's view that went through every page and said, "Hey, wait, that sounds like an old man's lingo. Don't use that language. Change it to where we understand it. What do you mean by that?" And I did every suggestion she did. Instead of getting somebody my age to read it, I thought a teenager would be better. So she gets this copy. Anyway, at the very beginning, I dedicate this to the younger generation that has been handed a crumpled up map to the future and simply told, good luck and try to find your way through. May this book give you some guidance and direction. And one thing that I am for sure about, the next generation will provide a new and profound way to success, happiness, and hope. I applaud your resiliency and determination to make this world a better place, 1 mile at a time. And Matt, what do you think about the generation that we're dealing with right now that we've kind of just said, hey, go to your room and play on your phones and hope you make it? Is that what we're doing to them?
That's exactly what we've done to them. You know, it's the phone's now the babysitter, and it's caused a lot of problems. We didn't see it early on. We see it now. And boy, if there are things, if I could go back, you know, with Lori and I, our son's now 17, and you know, and he's a preacher's kid, which is, he's got that against him, but even with him, we look at moments where we would just have done it differently. You know, with the video gaming, the phones. I mean, I know they're important in their lives, and we, you know, I'm glad we have this technology. But at the same time, we've just done a disservice to them, and now we're paying for it. And the good news is we can fix a lot of it. But they have gotten to a place where, you know, it's easier now to go to their phones, to go to their laptops for what they need or they think they need, and neglect mom and dad or their whoever it is that's raising them. And that's what we've caused. And we know what happens when they get on it. They may find a good answer, but they're going to have to go through a lot of junk to find a good answer. And the junk is usually what has all the bells and whistles and looks good, and they'll jump on that. And that's what bothers me the most about it. Like I said, it's fixable, but man, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, sure is. I tell you what, it's already, of course, we started a couple minutes late, but let's take our first break. 888-627-6008. Really, I would love for people to call in tonight and torment Matt a little bit and say howdy to him. I would love that. So please call in. Don't, even if you have nothing to say, but howdy. We would love to listen to hear you. And matter of fact, let's do this. If you want to call in, the first two callers to call in, I'll get your address and send you a free book. So we'll do that. So feel free to do that. 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back with this next segment of Breaking the Silence on the other side of this commercial break. Hang with us.
Hey, Lord. I wish I could.
Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. And Matt, I want to make sure you unmute yourself. I muted during the commercial. So when you talk, go ahead and unmute so we'll hear you. I was looking the other day and found, of course, Houston Chronicle always does some great things. They did a whole series of stories. This one's called Distressed. And Texas schools don't have enough mental health providers as leaders fail to fix it. The kids suffer. And then just 6/28, a few days ago, June 28th, this story came out from Gallup. And it says Gallup did a poll. And it says the world is unhappier and more stressed than ever. And it goes through, it's like a 6-page article. It goes through and tells about how the youth are starting to suffer what they're enduring right now in the world. And they're just not finding any kind of happiness. Matt, what do you think is the cause of that? Why is not just adults, but youth? And here it says 4 in 10 adults worldwide says they're experiencing a lot more worry, a lot more stress than they ever have before. And it's almost up 50%. What can we do about this?
Wow. That's, here in Southern Illinois, in the last year or so, we've had a couple of teen suicides, in these small communities. And any suicide obviously is horrible, but when you learn more of the story behind these and you see what drove it, it is that cesspool of hopelessness that they were in, that they felt like there was no way out. That was the only answer. To sit day in and day out in my office at the church and try and wrap my head around this and think, well, what could I do? What could I say? We talk about the phones, and the kids being on the phones. And I think that may be a lot of the problem, because now everything is broadcast. And we all know how the media, they love the bad news.
Yeah.
They love the dirty laundry. You watch, and we've all done it. And I've counted on news sources how many stories are negative versus positive. And it's I guarantee you, out of 10 stories, 9 are very negative. They make a person, 54, it makes me feel like, man, the world's going to end tomorrow. We're going to hell in a handbasket. Plagues and, war now and the gun violence. And it's all this. And there's no doubt that that is playing a huge role in what's happening with our, especially our young people, because they literally are thinking, wait, I'm young. I'm living my life. I've got my whole life ahead of me, but yet this is happening, World War III is about to break out. The pandemic's coming back, mind numbing, to say the least, to think, how do we get the answer? How do we get, the remedy to these guys and gals that we know we have? So
how do we rebuild trust back with kids? I don't have a preset thing of questions. We're just going off the cuff tonight. How, because it seems like adults are so untrusting of everybody. And when they see us not trusting the newscast, not trusting the newspapers, not trusting the politicians, not trusting the people that's in charge, not trusting. And look, Matt, we're both ministers. I don't trust ministers.
Yeah.
Look what's going on with the ministers. And all of those falls. I mean, we're talking about some heavy duty hitters,
right?
And then denominations that have covered up trash and disease, hoping it will go away. And it doesn't. It comes back even worse than it ever has. How do we rebuild trust with kids, with youth?
It's like eating an elephant, isn't it? One bite at a time. It's just, and I wish there was this great easy answer that would just wave your magic wand and it's there, but it's just picking the one kid one moment at a time and then letting it take its natural course. And then that kid can share with a friend, hey, I talked to so-and-so, you need to go talk with them. I think probably the best way to do it. I don't know if it's the only way, but in my mind, You know, it's just being transparent, you know, being open enough to say, look, I don't have all the answers and I'm as flawed as you, but you know, here's what I know works. Trust me in this. And I think some of that also needs to be showing them our resilience that, you know, we're not going to break our word or do our best not to. We're not going to give you advice and just basically say, you know, do as I say, not as do as I do, that we can say, no, listen, these are things I put into practice. I do these things. You can watch me day in and day out. I think we need a lot more of that. Examples.
Yeah, and your brother James, I was hoping would be on because I believe, let's see, because you said the word, the key word. I believe it's page 15. Let's see if I'm right. I have a weird mind. I remember.
See how good you are, Greg.
I don't remember where I parked my car. Do I?
And we're watching to see how good you are.
Okay, let's see. Ah, here it is. Page 15. So when you get the book, here it is. And James taught me this on this program one night. And it goes like this. A dear friend of mine, James Brown, was recently on my weekly radio show, Breaking the Silence out of you. And he helped me understand this concept of, and you said the word, transparency. And he said it that night, and I've heard it, I used it, I've taught it, I've preached it, but I had never practiced it as much. He indicated to me that there is a distinct difference between transparency and honesty. And I remember that discussion vividly. He went on to explain that a person can be honest with others, but not be completely transparent. In reality, transparency should be a complete revelation of who we are and what is actually happening on the inside of us. Some of the most damage that I've ever done to myself was the fact that I wasn't being completely transparent to myself and thus ignoring what was going on inside of me. And that was the beginning, that I was beginning to destroy everything around me. And I go on with the rest of the chapter about transparency. But I think that is so key that youth today and adults, because this book's really for everybody, play the game. And we're so lousy at it anymore. You know, the sad thing, Matt, I was a pro at it. I got to be so good at playing the game that I didn't even recognize who I was anymore.
Right.
Ever been there? Ever done that?
Oh, if you're the chief, I'm the assistant chief, buddy. I'll give you a run for your money on playing the game because I did it and I suffered and others have suffered around me.
In what ways? In what areas?
You know, what my brother touched on, you know, he and I obviously living so close to each other and hanging around each other quite a bit. You know, he's shared that, his thoughts on that with me. And, you know, he had walked with me 20 some odd years ago when I went through my divorce. That's when I realized the difference in honesty and transparency like he did. And it was I look at it this way, the transparency that people need to see isn't that I just open my whole life up or you open your, because it's not for everyone to see, obviously, but open it up and say, it's the transparency is to say, you know, my whole life isn't yours to see, but my heart, what motivates me is. Because if you open your heart to somebody, they see the real you. You know, somebody once told me, said, Matt, the greatest teacher you ever have in your life is in every bathroom that you can find. And I thought, what in the world? And talking about a mirror, to be able to look at a mirror, look at yourself and say, first off, are you being totally transparent with yourself? 99.999% of the people are not. I wasn't. Oh. Still struggle there. If I cannot be transparent with myself, I cannot be transparent with anybody else. And that's a lie. And I bought into that. And so when the mess ups came, when the, you know, my battle with depression and anxiety, most of my adult life, and call for what it is, mental illness, no one likes that, but I mean, people realize that I'm nuts, but that's a whole nother thing. But this battle stemmed from that whole idea that I would look in the mirror And I wasn't being transparent with myself. Not honest, because I knew me. And it's like how God looks at us. You can't fool God. You can't really fool yourself either. But to be able to look at my heart, look at who I am and say, what am I letting define me? What am I letting label me in my life and why? And as soon as you open yourself up to that, then you hear his voice say, now you see, this is what I've seen from the very beginning. I've always seen this. You needed to see it. The minute that happened, the excusing, the bad behavior, or the bragging about the good behavior, all that went away. And it just came down to going, okay, I need to just be me. And you need to be you. And the world needs to see that. We have so many fakes out there. And ministers are the world's worst. And we don't mean to be. We really don't. We just feel like that we got to show a side to us so people will like what we are selling them. They'll like what, because we know it's the best thing. But
it's what they expect of us. And then we want to reach that, attain that. And I think the biggest step I ever did with the church that I'm with, that is the most loving church I've ever been involved with, was stand up and say, wow, I've made mistakes. I'm not perfect. This is who I am. I can't play the game anymore. And I hope you still love me. And they still did. And a lot of places wouldn't.
Right.
And that's one thing that I like about our friendship is that I honestly, at any given time, I think I could call you and tell you the most ugly thing about me. And you go, hey, I still love you.
Absolutely.
And there's such a confidence in that. And I don't think a lot of people have that with each other, because we haven't ever taken the step to break out of that barrier and that mask and go on the other side of it and go, hey, this is who I am. You still like me? Mm. And those people that don't anymore, you should have cut them loose a long time ago anyway. It's the ones that still hang around and go, yes. Matter of fact, I love you more because I know more about you. Mm. How many people have friends like that?
Not enough. Nearly enough.
And I think the youth today deserve that.
Absolutely.
I remember telling my kids time after time after time, just fake it till you make it. And in some ways, that's okay. That's good. Hey, if you don't know what you're doing, get in there. I learned it in umpire school that if you don't know what the call is, just make sure the call is loud and nobody will question you. So if you don't know whether it was out or safe, whatever you decide, say it loud and with compassion and passion and volume, and people go, oh, he must be right. Look how loud he was. But you notice this with people when you start having conversations, that now I'm noticing that in meetings, that loud person that gets agitated the most is usually the one that's wrong, is usually the one that is trying to say, hey, wait, I want it my way or no way or the highway. And they think the loudness and the aggressiveness is going to get them what they want. And that's not the way it is in this world anymore.
Yeah. I like the umpire analogy. That's good. That is so true. I do it a lot. I think, man, if I'm going to just be loud and it looks confident, they'll believe me. But, you know, I had a parishioner not too long ago come up to me and ask me, said, hey, I heard this about you. And you know how those go.
Oh, yeah.
You wait for those. And so and they said, this is what I heard about you. And I just looked and I said, that's a down out. That's a lie. I said, it is way worse than they told you. It was way worse than they told you. And I didn't do that to cover it. I did that because it was the truth. But then this is what being transparent gets you, being truly transparent. Then I lovingly looked at them and said, but that person is dead and buried. And if I dig it up, it's going to stink and you won't like it. So if you want me to dig that person up, I will. We can talk this. We can hash this out. But this room is going to stink like a dead body and we're not going to enjoy this. Or we can say, hey, look. Here's where it's at. That to me, those kind of conversations need to be had with youth, 20-year-olds, college age, adults, where we can say, look, it's not about, we're so drawn and driven to the negative. It's just our nature. start shifting it back to, let's talk about the positive. That guy's dead and buried. Guess what? There's a new resurrected person, brand spanking new. Get to know that person. You know, I think that is why so many people need to see that and have that some in their life that can say, look, I want to make you better. You help make me better.
Yeah. And accountability is important.
It is. Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to take our last break. 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back for the last segment with Dr. Matthew Brown right after we get this last commercial. Hang with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
I'm just reading the book. This isn't too bad. You know, I was going to do, let's see where it's at. I'm going to work on this one, which is the second part of Shattered by the Darkness. And that's going to be out toward hopefully the end of the year. And I've been commissioned to write another book called Hiding in the Darkness for Men and Boys That Have Been Sexually Abused. And I have to have that out by December. But this one was so important to me, because I think I needed this, and this is the book that I would have wanted on my bookshelf if I was 14, back when I was getting abused every day. There was no books to reach to and try to find wisdom. And to be honest with you, I don't know many right now that you can buy that really helps you with these kind of things. And I tried to take this from the psychological, but was not getting too textbooky. I'm simple. I want to keep it simple. I didn't want to get too difficult. I want to be able to understand it myself. So I didn't have any big words in here. If they are, they're probably misspelled. But and then trying to figure out how do I get to where I want to go. And I don't know, Matt, if you see this in Southern Illinois or in your church or in your friends or just in life in general. How can people get to the destination they want to if they don't know where they're at before they start? And that's one of the first chapters in the book is your personal map app. If I'm going to Dallas, I can't just type in Dallas without Siri or whoever on my phone to go where my phone is and go, okay, can we use our little pinpoint to figure out where you're at so we can show you how to get there. All it will do is go to Dallas and drop the pin. And if I want to get there, I have to decide, hey, where am I at? And I think in life, so many of us are just paddling, dog paddling, and we don't know the direction we're going. And we have to figure out, hey, let's be honest. This is who I am. This is what I'm going through. But that's where I want to go. But before I get there, I have to open up the trunk and start emptying the baggage.
Yeah.
Do you have any, you're really personal. Do you have any baggage? Because I do. that you haven't emptied yet fully, that's still in the trunk that weighs you down, although you think you have it accomplished and you've overcome it. But it's like, wait, that's still in a rusty suitcase in the trunk of my emotional vehicle that you haven't really opened up yet?
Absolutely. You know, it's it at the same time, it's freeing to get to a place you could admit you've got the baggage, but it's still that whole nother step of saying, now let's unpack it. That's you know, and let's just be honest with each other. As pastors, there's very few places pastors can unpack baggage and you don't lose your job. You know, and that's sad. And I'm blessed, and I know you are too, but I am blessed at a congregation and a church that they get that. They understand. And so they, you know, it's not a free pass that I can run and do what I want. But at the same time, they realize that we're all, we all have baggage. And once we start unpacking it, I would say this. I know what would help to unpack it and get where I need to get going. And we all do this. We all got a destination. Is first and foremost, you've got to surround yourself with those people that are okay with whatever comes out of those bags. And that's, people say, well, Matt, how do I do that? I don't put a one ad out. First and foremost, I tell them, you need to pray about it. Say, God, bring those people into my life. And then I tell them, but here's the easy part. They're already there. I promise you, they're already there. You just have to go, okay, that's one of them. That's one of them. That's one of them. And then say, hey, if I start unpacking, are you good with this? Because then they'll start unpacking. And that's the key to getting to the place I need to be tomorrow. So the next question is, well, you know, everybody's nosy. Well, what's Matt got in his bags? You know, what's Greg carrying his bags? And a lot of times it's not a sin. A lot of times it's a negative attitude about myself. Maybe it's just junk. You know, the desire to make more money, the desire to be something I'm not, you know, the desire to have this, this, and this, and realize that's not important anymore. You know, the important thing is we learned this through the pandemic. We saw people that had it all together and had the world, the houses, the everything you could think of, the beautiful family, and contracted a small little virus. And a week later, we're at their funeral. And where did it all go? It didn't matter. It didn't. So you have to get to the place you say, okay, let's unpack the baggage and let's live life like we're supposed to. Let's have that joy and that peace. Let's have that because we get one time around the globe. And then, and that's what's sad. But it just, I would say that. I would say being able to say now, how do I unpack it and who do I unpack it in front of so they can help me get through this?
Yeah, I have a chapter two on unpacking your trunk. And I think that's so important because you can't put in the fresh luggage of what you need to go on vacation, like everybody may be doing traveling this weekend if they can afford the gas. I got to stay here because I can't, you know, my tank's on empty. I can't afford to fill it. Anyway, but luggage in your truck without taking out the old stuff. And especially, Matt, you're a fisherman. I'm not, but you and James fish. Can you imagine having all your fishing gear and even the fish that you had still in the truck and you want to go or come down and see me in Houston with you and your lovely bride? And you say, I'll just leave all that fishing stuff in there, the old fish and all that. It's going to end up affecting everything that you travel with. So I think it's so important to empty that. And I show you how to do that in here. And then I think it's so important that when you get in a vehicle and head in a direction, not only know where you're at and where you're going, but isn't it awesome to be able to choose who you want in the vehicle with you on that journey? Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be a selection? There's some people that I wouldn't want to go from here to the corner with in my vehicle going on a trip. Yeah. And would it make sense that if I was heading to, not too long ago, I was driving to the Grand Canyon, wouldn't it make sense to be in a vehicle with somebody that you want to enjoy the trip with, or even better yet, has been there before, and they'll say, hey, wait, don't take that turn. That's an awful road. Lots of ups and downs, and the roads are unsafe. You don't want to do that. And I think in life, there's a lesson there that when you pick the people that you go on the life journey with, sometimes we need to pick people that's already been there. at least pick somebody that knows how to fold the map.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you think about that?
Oh, I 100% agree. You've heard the story of the gentleman who applied for the job building houses, and all these guys with the degrees showed up, and the gentleman that got the job was the guy whose hands showed the proof. He got the job. The owner of the company saw the hands and said, you've been there. You've done it. You're the who I want in my team. Not that the others aren't important. I mean, they know stuff, but that's one thing I tell people. When you're wanting to pick that group around you, that's what, look at their hands, spiritually, metaphorically, but look at their hands, look at their feet, look at the scars. You know, Brennan Manning, my favorite quote by him, he says, "The unwounded life bears no resemblance to the rabbi." And that is so true. An unwounded life bears no resemblance to Jesus. None. Give me the wounded guys. I'm wounded. Give me the wounded. They're the ones that have been there, and they're going to tell you, hey, don't go down this road. Been there, done that. But if you do, I'm with you the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's. I think that's crucial. And don't look at it. You know, on Facebook, I've got 1,000-something friends.
Wow. I have two. Yeah. I think it's you and James. I have two. I don't know where, but I don't even know how to get on Facebook because I don't do Facebook. I think I have two Facebook friends, and they're you and James. I believe that's true.
Well, I envy you, bud, because, you know, and I'm probably, I know I'm one of those that I'm friends with people, and I'm just a friend on Facebook. You know who they are. If they show up at your dad's funeral, then you know who your friends are. They show up when you're in jail and you need bail money. But my point is, Jesus chose 12. You know, he narrowed that down. We live in a day and age where you're known by how many friends, how many followers you have. At the end of the day, man, I can count them. If I cut these three fingers off, I can count on my hand my true friends. And in same way with me, I mean, there are people that I'm not a true friend of them. It's not that I don't want to be. It just doesn't happen. But there are those that I am. And that's crucial to get through all this nonsense. And we tell our son this all the time. Choose your friends wisely. Choose them wisely. And then if not, let us help you choose them. These are the years you're going to form those relationships and the strength in numbers and get around those that are going to be there for you. And you can pick up that phone before you. I say this, before the barrel goes in the mouth, put the ear to the phone. Have somebody you can call and say, look, if we don't talk, if I don't do something, this is my next step. And, I know that's an extreme case, but it's still, that's where it's all headed. If you give me somebody that has no hope and it's only going to grow, and that's where it's headed ultimately, if we don't intervene and say, look, listen to me. And that's what your books do. Every one of them.
I put literally my cell phone number, I don't know how many times in here, because I really hope that if there's anybody that needs to reach out, that I'll be there to be able to answer. My emails and all that's in here too. And I think it's important that everybody needs somebody to be able to help them at any given time. And there's days that I'm in this home and I feel alone. And I choose loneliness sometimes, but I don't have to feel loneliness. All I have to do is pick up the phone and call and get that love again. And sometimes I choose what I just talked about at the beginning of the show. I choose a negative. And it's so important for us, if we do that, don't stay there long. If you need the little pity party, have it and get out. But there's hope at the end of the road, and you have to just keep on going down and putting those miles on the car, and you'll eventually get there. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
We got about a minute, man. I knew this hour would fly by. Yes, anything else you want to share?
Let me just be transparent here for a second. You know, the other day you called me and you said, hey, you were on my mind. And you do that all the time. And you're always on. And that's something I want to encourage people to hear me say this, that if your friend pops on your mind, call them. Worst case scenario, it's nothing, but call. Make the call, because you never know. Because in the last year, Greg, you've done it, three or four times, and I've needed it. I didn't reach out to you, pride, whatever it may have been, but you called and said, hey, you're on my mind. and I'm able to open up and say, hey, but you know, I'll say this, being transparent. If I can want somebody, I think may need to hear this, you know, so got a beautiful wife, beautiful 17-year-old, two beautiful kids from a failed marriage. I'm in a great place now in life at 54. I'm in the best place I've ever been in. But just a little while back, if my wife was here, she would confirm this, but being suicidal, that's long in the past for me. You know, I went through that spiel, but things got tough, stress, just this life we live as pastors. And so I came home one day, I owned some guns and I couldn't find them. And I thought, so I asked Lori, and I don't want people to hear what I'm not saying, but she locked them away. She hid them. This is the beautiful gift God gave me and my wife now. She knew enough to go, he's under an enormous amount of stress. She trusts me. She doesn't trust circumstances. And I'm only saying that to say this, I've shared this with my church. I don't want people to think that I'm unstable. I'm human. And we just come off of, and we've talked about this. We've had a pastor friend of ours, a friend of ours that did this. She knows what we're under, but she also knows that constantly giving the answers, sometimes we just refuse to take our own advice. That wasn't a sign of weakness. That was a sign of strength on her part. So I just want to share that whatever you're going through, have those people in your life that will do that. It's not a strike at you. It wasn't a strike at me that I'm this weak, you know, individual that's going to just end it all. She just knew that, hey, he needs to sit and talk and work this through. And so that's a lot. Your books do that. People just pick your books up and read them. And your number, I noticed that about you. It's in there. I can call you. I think that is tremendous. You're the only one like that I know will do that. Will give your own personal number out and say, call me anytime.
I appreciate you sharing that, Matt. And that's a true transparency. You just revealed that this evening. So thank you for sharing. We're up to time and they're saying, hey, we got to go. Thanks so much for being here, my friend. And thank you for sharing your wisdom. And thank you for writing the forward. And books are in the mail. And I will get those off to you and James and the kids and make sure they all get that. And hope they enjoy it. But thanks so much for being here with us tonight.
All right. You're welcome, Greg. Thank you, buddy.
I love you, my friend. We always like to end the program with always letting you know, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're enduring right now or tomorrow, there's always hope. There's always hope. And continue to drive yourself forward to that hope. I promise you that. Join us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. God bless. Have a safe 4th of July. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.